It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Tuesday, March 22nd. I'm Patricia Naft. The Montrose County School District will cut 37 staff positions for next year. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
For years, the district ran a deficit. The board hoped enrollment would pick up or that state funding would be restored. Neither happened. A year and a half ago, a ballot question asked residents if they would approve a mill levy increase. The district received an overwhelming no. Superintendent Stephen Shields says when he was hired last year, the board made it clear deficit spending was over.
Well, anytime you reduce staff, it's not fun. This is very painful for everybody, and it's not enjoyable. I've been told the community made it very clear. Make it work. And we will.
Almost all of the 37 cut positions are supportive jobs in reading and computer programs. He says those programs didn't seem to be helping the students and will be cut completely. Several vacancies left by retiring teachers will not be filled, and some administrative staff will be cut as well. Shields is excited about the future of the district, but says the next few budgets won't be any easier.
I do not anticipate anything to change other than that we'll have money issues again. Until the state funds public education and our communities fund public education, we'll have this problem.
He says if enrollments do pick up dramatically, more staff will be hired to keep class sizes down. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
A 69-year-old man died while skiing at the Telluride Ski Resort last weekend. George Nolan was visiting from South Carolina and skiing with his family when he fell and slid into a patch of trees. He's the second person to die while skiing at the resort in the past 2 weeks. A Democratic state representative apologized on the House floor yesterday after being charged with a DUI on St. Patrick's Day. Representative Dan Pabon of Denver was pulled over late Thursday night. He is the captain of the House's Beer Caucus and an attorney who pushed for stiffer DUI penalties. This session, he sponsored a bill that requires anyone convicted of drunk driving to go before a victim impact panel.
Needless to say, I believe in this legislation more than I did 5 days ago.
The governor is expected to sign the victim impact bill into law today. The Supreme Court declined to hear the suit brought by Nebraska and Oklahoma against Colorado. The two states claim that Colorado's Amendment 64 facilitates the violation and frustration of federal drug laws, putting an undue stress on their law enforcement. Although the Supreme Court's decision is a win for Colorado, the decision was likely due to an issue of jurisdiction and not an endorsement of legalization. Several police reform measures are making their way through the State House, and lawmakers are also looking at how best to address the problem of teenagers sexting. Benta Berkland discusses those bills as part of our weekly Capital Conversation.
I'm here with Peter Marcus, a reporter with the Durango Herald, and Kristen Wyatt with the Associated Press. Peter, it looks like this year we're going to see some pretty big wins on the police reform front.
Yeah, there's been a really interesting evolution on that. You know, when we saw these bills last year, it was touted as rebuilding trust. And this year they have the Rebuilding Trust 2.0 package, because some of the bills that they tried last year, such as prohibiting law enforcement from using chokehold, expanding on our racial profiling statutes, that didn't move last year. The conversation last year was really overshadowed by national events, white police officers shooting unarmed black men. The grassroots base was activated. The citizens were activated. They came out and they told heart-wrenching stories and pointed the finger at law enforcement a lot. This year, the conversation was much more limited to the stakeholders themselves, the lawmakers, law enforcement interests, civil rights groups. That emotional tone of the conversation was taken out of it. They were able to come to some compromises, and those bills remarkably moved through the committee unanimously and through the House floor with bipartisan support.
It's really unclear where these are going to go. In the Senate, President Cadman started the first day, his whole remarks were basically a long love letter to law enforcement, had a bunch of cops in the chamber. I think he was really telegraphing he did not want to see any legislation that could be interpreted as anti-law enforcement. That they're definitely making progress or some significant significant changes that they've made. For example, chokeholds, cops could still do it. They could cut off blood flow. They just couldn't cut off airflow. There's some things that they have really dramatically changed in some of this legislation. But I think it's too soon to say that it's all going to make it to the governor's desk.
And Kristen, you've been covering a bill related to sexting. Give us an overview on that legislation and where does it stand?
This is another fascinating law enforcement issue. We have prosecutors from around the state telling lawmakers, look, we only have a huge hammer when there's cases of high schooler kids passing naked pictures around. That is felony child exploitation. We're not going to charge kids with that because they'd have to then register for all their lives as a sex offender. This could send them to jail for up to 12 years. We need a softer tool here. There's wide agreement that nobody wants to see 16-year-olds sharing dirty pictures sentenced to 12 years in prison for that because it's very common behavior. But interestingly, some people say that even if it's a more mild crime, that's such common behavior and that consensual sexting should be not a crime at all. It's pretty typical adolescent behavior. Some say if you'd ever sexted, it's because you're too old and you didn't have smartphones in high school. If you had smartphones in high school, you would have done this too. Lawmakers were asking, well, what if these teens then want to run for public office when they're adults? Arapahoe County Prosecutor George Brockler told lawmakers, look, there's a reason we have juvenile code. We've decided that teens cannot make good decisions. We don't allow them to own guns. We don't allow them to vote. We don't allow them to drive in many cases. We should say that this should not be allowed, even if they're commonly doing it. Lawmakers broke off, couldn't decide what to do. A lot of states are very conflicted about what is the right role here. I'd be very curious to see if they ever come up with anything.
And I think it's interesting, like what Kristen was talking about, is that, you know, what people are trying to weigh is just how big of a prolific problem is this really in the first place? Is this something that we really need to crack down on, or is it just kids being kids? And we live in a different era now with social media and everything. When these kids run for public office, people might not even care that this even happens. So I think that they're weighing all sides of the issue, whether action is needed, and just what that level might look like.
Thanks, Peter Marcus with the Durango Herald, Kristen Wyatt with the Associated Press. I'm Benta Berkland in Denver, and this is Capital Conversation.
For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.